You ready? Here we go. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. One more time. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Very good. Don't tell the bishop that we sang this morning. Otherwise, I'll be out on the rail. How many of you want to be saints? How many of you want to be saints? Some people don't want to be saints. Now, you know, one of the requirements is that you have to be dead. So, I mean, that's the truth. You don't get to be a saint without dying. You know about this 15-year-old computer whiz who was recently beatified. 15 years old, and he, you know, he wasn't born that long ago. And I'm thinking, wow, this kid really wanted to be a saint. He really wanted to be a saint. He worked at it, and he's a saint. And that's God's vision for all of us. You know, everybody, every organization, every parish has like a mission statement, a goal and all that. Well, we can reduce it to simply heaven. That's God's vision for all of us. He wants every single human people on this planet to be in heaven with him after they die. In other words, to be a saint. That's God's vision for us. And we as Christians are called to look at that goal, think about it, and work towards it, not only for ourselves, but for everybody. And we have that beautiful vision of heaven in the book of Revelation, and there's thousands, hundreds of thousands of people there, and we get these beautiful paradoxes where we're told that they're wearing these beautiful white garments because they washed them in the blood of the Lamb. Well, I mean, what a paradox. Washing in blood, and they come out white. But that's the glory of our faith. God became a human being to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sins, so that we could ask for forgiveness and wash our sins, the red of our sins, so we could become pure, so we could be with God for all eternity. And November is the month when we think about, in particular, the saints, but also the poor souls in purgatory. We pray for them. And we also think about the four last things. We think about death, judgment, heaven, and hell. We're all going to die. I can guarantee that. Anyone want to take a bet on it? We're all going to die. And then we're all going to be judged. That's what the scriptures say. And I don't know how you feel about that, but we're all going to have to be judged. Immediately upon death, we will be judged, and the immediate pronouncement will be made, up or down. Even up can be purgatory, because those who are in purgatory will one day come into the presence of the Lord. So we think about that. So we think about, do I want to go to heaven? Do I want to go to hell? Now, I think we all say we want to go to heaven, but how are we living our lives to say to God, yes, God, I want to be with you for all eternity? And the wonderful thing about our faith is it's incredibly easy and simple to get to heaven. And I can also say it's incredibly difficult to get to heaven. There's another paradox of our faith. It's both. It's easy, simple, because number one, God is a God of love, and we're told in God mercy and justice meet. So we have a merciful God, and he's laid out everything, all the teachings of the church that we have, the scriptures. So it's there. We don't have to worry about finding out the way to heaven. We know the way to heaven. And if we keep Jesus Christ in the forefront of our hearts and minds and just keep following Jesus, we'll make it. The bad news, the negative part, is you and me. Because we keep sliding around. We say, yeah, I want you, God, but you're kind of like St. Augustine. Before his conversion, he said, yeah, Lord, I want to be converted, but not quite yet. You know, I kind of want to enjoy the sins of my youth. And I think that's the way we all are, aren't we? Yeah, we want to do good, but we tend to slide back and forth. And we do really have the option of going to heaven or going to hell. It really is our choice. It's not God so much. He will confirm or affirm us in our choice, but we choose which way we want to go. But again, God has given us everything we need to be on fire. And again, if we go back to that vision in Revelation, we have all these hundreds of thousands of people celebrating and singing and dancing around. And let's put it this way, heaven, that's a place where everything's hopping. People are really enjoying themselves. You know, they're not kind of, you know, oh, this is so wonderful, Lord. No, they're hallelujahing and jumping around and singing because it's a place of perfect sheer joy. But we have that vision of all these thousands, millions of people who have made it, and they are there praying for us. Right now, they're with us. They're all right in this church building. All the angels and saints are here cheering us on. They're basically saying, look, we did it with God's help, of course, and you can do it here, and we're here to help you. And that's the model of the church as well. The model of the church is to be a reflection or parallel of heaven. So just as we have people in heaven who are in perfect synchronicity with one another, all have the same ideas and goals and joys, that's what we in the earthly church are supposed to be doing with and for one another, helping one another to keep focused on the straight and narrow. And the scriptures say we're called to be with those who mourn. We're called to help those who suffer. We're called to feed the hungry. We're called to welcome the stranger. And to do that powerfully, and I have to say, I don't really see it in our country today within the church, but we're supposed to be showing the rest of the world this is the way it's done. So we as a community of believers, we're supposed to be so tight with one another, so focused together on heaven for ourselves and others, that we're constantly applauding one another when we do something wonderful. We're also correcting one another when we stray, when we sin. And we're constantly pushing one another, coaching one another to be the best person we were created to be. And that's always in the future. And God always gives us more so that we can grow more. There's no limit. And it also includes, obviously, suffering, persecution. That goes along with it. And I think there's a test, in a way, to see how genuine our faith in Jesus Christ is. If we go through life without people criticizing us for our faith or even persecuting us for our faith, it's probably that we're not really living our faith well. We should be living our faith very loudly, making it clear it's not about politics. It's not what's going to happen on Tuesday, God forbid. Doesn't matter who gets elected, but it's all about Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior from the very beginning till the very end, at least in a natural way. He is our King. He's the one we're called to follow. And we need one another. Let's put it this way, we're saints in the making. We need one another to keep supporting one another, challenging one another, correcting one another, so that we can let the world know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is everything. And as I say, as I look out in our country, the Catholic Church, I think there are pockets of this happening, but in general, after Mass, we go back to our homes, get back into our little bubbles, whatever they may be, and we forget that Christian living is 24/7. It's not just an hour on Sunday, or maybe a couple times during the week, or when I do volunteer work, but it's 24/7. We should have the mind of Christ. That's what Paul says. Put on the mind of Christ, which is a 24/7 mind. It's always, how can I please God? How can I please the Father? How can I go further than where I am right now to do great things in the name of God? And that's the path to sainthood, really, very simply put. But we as a community have to keep reminding ourselves of that and coming together and literally getting together with one another probably much more frequently than we do to say, how are you doing as the light of Christ? How are you being salt for the world? How have you welcomed a stranger this past week? And to listen to those stories and say, you know, I can do that too. And then we go out and do it. But Christianity is a religion of practice. It's not up here alone. It's not just here. But we have to practice it with our hands, with our feet, with our mouths. Just like riding a bike or skating, whatever it is, we have to practice it. It's a discipline. So that's a discipline that goes on and on and on until the day we die and hopefully are greeted into heaven by the Lord. But until then, we as a Christian community have to keep in mind if we want to be saints, we have to be a saintly people. We're not individual saints, but we're part of a saintly people, a people called to holiness. And we have to support one another, to mentor one another, coach one another, be open to being corrected so that we can really thrive as saints. So I look at this 15-year-old boy. I don't know much about him, but he really made an impression on people. 15-year-old kid. And people back then were saying, this kid's a holy kid. Now, I want to be like that because I'm maybe five times his age. I still have a chance, though, because I still have the Lord. But that's what God wants for all of us. That's God's vision for each and every one of us, that we be saints. And we can't do it outside of the community. We have to do it within the community, support one another, so that one day, maybe we'll hear all the angels and saints in heaven singing, here come the saints, here come the saints, and we'll be in that line. But hopefully that's what we want, that's what we keep in the forefront of our minds and hearts, that's something we work on, we work at each and every day with one another, so that we can be the saints that God created us to be.